We're several weeks in to the Arkansas PBS Alternative Methods of Instruction program. It's designed to fill the void while school buildings are closed because of the pandemic. Educators are watching closely to evaluate the effectiveness. Yesterday on Ozarks at Large, our colleague Michael Hiblin, with our partner station KUAR in Little Rock, reported on AMI and how it's been working. Today, he asks educators involved about the process nearly 2 months in.
Hello, dear, sweet, beautiful, brilliant students of Arkansas. I'm Stacey McAdoo, and I am truly honored to have another opportunity to spend some more time with all of you 6th, 7th, and 8th graders for Arkansas AMI.
Stacey McAdoo is one of five teachers who host AMI segments, mixing locally produced material with carefully selected content from PBS.
There are a lot of farms in Arkansas. The natural state farms a little bit of everything. What I love about living so close to so many farms is that I never forget where my food comes from.
For 17 years, McAdoo has taught at Little Rock Central High School, but last year was named Arkansas's Teacher of the Year. That brought her out of the classroom for what she calls a year of service, visiting other schools and providing professional development for teachers. She and four other Arkansas Teachers of the Year were asked to host segments, which are broadcast by Arkansas PBS and can be streamed online. McAdoo says the material is chosen by the TV station in consultation with the Arkansas Department of Education.
It is then up to me to kind of take what they have written, and I try to add myself to it, if that makes any sense. So, for instance, one of my common phrases that I say in my classroom is I always greet my students by saying, "Hello, dear, sweet, beautiful, brilliant student." So I felt like it was very important for me to start each of my segments with my signature or standard phrase, because I wanted the segments to feel as warm and inviting and as close to allowing the students or the viewers to see who I am normally as possible. So even though I am not delivering any instruction, I wanted them to be able to see and feel my love for all of them, whoever they are, because as a teacher, I love students. I love young people. And I hope that comes across when, not just me, but when all of us are on there.
And she's glad the lessons are being broadcast in addition to being online.
I knew that in my community with my students, there were a lot of my students who would not have access to internet or devices at home. I also knew that prior to this year, we utilized public access channels for our school board meetings to advertise them. And we also did some other things on there. So I immediately thought about using public access channel to help show instruction to students. Now, what exactly that programming was going to look like, I had no idea.
But as she was having those thoughts when Arkansas school buildings were being shut down because of the outbreak, Arkansas PBS had approached the Department of Education to see if it was interested in partnering. It has 6 broadcast signals around Arkansas, providing reliable coverage to about 3/4 of the state. Some in higher education who are not involved in the Alternative Methods of Instruction program are watching the process carefully. Dr. Victoria Grove Scott is dean of the University of Central Arkansas's College of Education, which trains future teachers.
Fortunately, Arkansas had the AMI in place prior to the pandemic, because we're much farther ahead than a lot of states that didn't have anything in place. And so we had this system in place where we had packets that were built up that we planned to send home and virtual learning environments for snow days and inclement weather and those kinds of situations. But there are other states that have nothing in place. And so those children and teachers have been struggling. People I know all across the United States and other states, they haven't even had contact with their students because they didn't have a mailing list and packets weren't put together and there was no approved virtual platform. So we're sitting really good in that situation.
But Dr. Grove Scott says there are limitations to the AMI program.
We do have this point where a lot of the AMI is not teaching a new skill. We're just reinforcing and we're reviewing content that was previously taught because it's very, very difficult to teach a new skill, especially a complex skill, virtually. And for the younger children, that is particularly difficult. So if you're introducing long division, that's hard to do through a virtual format. And even in the high school level, if you're teaching advanced chemistry, then you've got things like labs that you can't do virtually. And that causes difficulty for the children and for the teachers to be able to reliably offer that content in a virtual format. So those are some concerns that we have, and especially concerns about children that have disabilities. So children with special needs have a lot of time, a lot of difficulty and need a lot of one-on-one contact. And so virtual learning environments are definitely not the best for our younger children and for our children with disabilities.
Another collegiate official, not involved, but observing Arkansas AMI, is Dr. Kimberly Crosby, Director of Teacher Education at Lyon College in Batesville. She agrees there are unavoidable limitations compared to the traditional classroom setting.
There's no way to replace a well-trained teacher in terms of providing education to students. And I think that the teachers are feeling it as well as the students. I follow some teaching social media accounts, and teachers are working double hard to try to provide quality learning experiences for their students, and also scheduling Zoom meetings and trying to find creative ways to interact with their students socially as well as academically.
School buildings have been closed through the end of the year. When they open, which officials hope will be on schedule in August, Crosby says the disruption to students' academic progress will be apparent.
I think it's going to be unavoidable that there will be some remediation needed, largely because of the differing capacity for being able to access online learning. You know, we have groups of students, whether by geography or socioeconomic status, who just can't access the materials in the same way that other students can. And, you know, the home situations vary so much that I think there'll definitely be a need for some remediation practices when school goes back.
How will students be evaluated?
That's going to be a case-by-case basis. And students are going to have to potentially be diagnosed when they return to school and to just try to determine what the learning loss is. You know, students experience a certain amount of learning loss just over a summer break. And so this is, I would imagine, going to exacerbate that learning loss, since the period of time is so long.
Crosby hopes that after this pandemic, teachers will be more appreciated as they were in the past. In Little Rock, I'm Michael Heplin.